This is one of those mornings when 25 miles feels like 50 miles.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Because you were driving through Schmutz on the way in. Getting better.
So slow. It is getting better.
Yeah.
But still a lot of slick spots, so just take it slow.
Still working on 2-hour delay for most of the area schools today. So bear that in mind. But neither wind nor rain nor gloom of whatever will keep Dr. Androlia from his appointed rounds for Concord Orthopedics. Adam Androlia is back with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in.
Thank you.
I knew you were coming in, and we get story suggestions from companies around that do bookings. You know, they have guests, and this one was: can you avoid knee replacement with diet and exercise? Orthopedists suggest way to make surgery the last option. And I'm like, well, this is old news. I know this. And I don't know, some doctor who came out with a book called Finding the Source, Maximizing Your Results with and Without Orthopedic Surgery. I'm like, yeah. And believe it or not, he said, diet and exercise. I went, no. Did you used to work at Concord Ortho? So, they're saying arthritis affects 54 million people in the U.S., leading cause of disability among adults over 55. And it said arthritis, in many cases, leads to total joint replacement. I get that. And again, something we've talked about. But he said it's a big decision, sometimes premature. Everything this guy says, who's flogging a book, is what you and your colleagues come in and talk about every week. But to him, it's like scathingly brilliant. It's insightful. And to us, it's like, well, this is what we talk about every week. But he got it. So you should get a book deal out of this. I mean, yeah.
I definitely got to work on that.
I was going to say, from better arch support to exercise and diet, he can discuss for your listeners the way that arthritis sufferers are candidates for knee replacement. Well, yeah. How knee injections can help, cortisone. What's this one? Hyaluronic. Yeah, acid. Platelet-rich plasma and stem cells. Like, all right, whatever. But it's funny that we talk about the fact Concord Orthopedics, people immediately think, oh, my God, I'm going to have surgery. It's like the last thing that you do.
That's the big joke in the office, is that most of our conversations are trying to talk people out of surgery instead of getting them. Yeah.
But people don't think that. If I hear a pop or I hear something, it's like, oh, God, I'm going to have surgery. Usually the last thing. So here's this dude, whoever this is, Dr. somebody or other, Dr. Romano. He's got a book and he's got a press group flogging this around radio stations. Come on, Adam.
Gotta work on it.
Talk to Linda. Say, hey, get us going here. Come on.
Exactly.
But it's funny. So to me, that was reaffirmation that everything we've been talking about is this is it. And weight loss, people are carrying around more weight. I know I'm carrying around more than I should, which puts more stress on the hip and on the knees and on the feet and blah, 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 blah. And as you get older, you know, you're saying, God, I'm slowing down. Well, duh, it's our own fault.
It happens. It's the unfortunate truth sometimes. But it's something that, we always talk about the idea of doing the conservative stuff first. No one's really like scalpel heavy unless it's absolutely appropriate for patients. So it's, I really like the idea of conservative measures. That's 100% of what I do because I'm the non-operative guy in the office.
Right.
My goal is to make sure that you're able to do what you want as much as you can. We're trying to do all the conservative things. You can talk about those cortisone injections,
right,
the physical therapy, the anti-inflammatories, some bracing at times. But the goal here is really to just keep you as active as you can be, because that's really what keeps people happy.
Obviously it depends on the degree of arthritis that you have. Weight loss, exercise? Figures prominently into it.
Yeah, big staple that's part of every discussion.
And I'm sure you've had that discussion with people saying, tactfully, you need to shed like 50, 80 pounds, and you know you'll be surprised. Once you do that, then we'll talk about your future.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're talking decent numbers when it comes to that. That's hard. That's very hard to accomplish for patients. And so it usually takes like a multiple people getting involved at that point to try and being able to help. So,
really?
Yeah, it's like making suggestions to patients like that, but then making sure primary care doctors involved. If it's something where, if there's major issues, unfortunately, where there's maybe an endocrine problem that might be causing this, like hypothyroidism, things of that that might be causing it, you make sure all the blood levels and everything are correct, kind of coming in from every angle you can.
If there are, and was it Barbara Bush, the story was she had been treated for years with a thyroid condition. Does that preclude you from having hip or knee replacement if you have some kind of condition like that?
Oh, preclude you, like you can't have it?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know, because you were on these meds, that would have would you know, limit your rehab capability or anything like that?
Not any of those medicines. No, you always have to watch out for diabetics. That's the hard one. That's just because with like wound healing and things like that, the higher your blood sugar, the less likely it's going to heal well.
What about a hemophiliac? Can you work with them?
You can, depending on what they have. And that's something you need to really go back to the textbooks, maybe potentially get a consult to be able to help with you, for particularly when you're talking about the OR sorts of stuff.
Years ago, I worked with a graphic designer, and that was before the advent of desktop publishing. And he would work at his big board with X-Acto knives. And I'm thinking, you can't clot. Why are you working with blades? So we would threaten him with blades to get our work done. Say, you know, yeah. And he would threaten us with his cane. And so it was a trade. But I always wondered, if you have somebody that has a health issue like that, a blood issue, does that preclude them from, you know, getting a hip or knee replacement?
No, it doesn't preclude them. I mean, I do guided injections, and there are times when...
Well, what's a guided injection?
A guided injection. So I use my ultrasound machine to be able to help with, like, guided, like, needle placement.
Oh,
to make sure that they're 100% in the right place. Sometimes I'm doing... I'm going after nerves that are potentially, like, a millimeter to a millimeter and a half in size, and you want to make sure that, obviously, you're right next to it and not in it.
Got it.
Yeah. And so the idea of someone comes in on a blood thinner, you always are wondering about things. You have a little increased risk of having a little bit of a bleeding sort of an issue. But usually when it comes to what I describe as like the peripheral injections, usually you don't have to worry about those too much. Even going into the joints, you don't have too much of an increased risk. It's there. I should knock on wood somewhere that I haven't had an issue with anything like that. But you talk to my... you talk to my colleagues that do like spinal injections and things, they're adamant about making sure that you're off some of those medicines before doing those type of injections. A little
now,
bit different.
Now, you said you wanted to put the shot next to the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you hit the nerve?
So depends what you mean by hit. So
I'm using what you had said.
Yeah. So what you would do is
Adam, I don't know squat.
Nah, you're good.
Don't ask me for a definition.
I'll split hairs here.
Okay, all right, fine.
So if you actually, there's a sheath that goes over the top of the nerve.
Okay.
And so what happens is that actually if you put medicine in the sheath, you will have a great response to certain issues. The idea is, though, the numbness that comes from it may last a little bit longer than it's supposed to.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. The idea is, though, because the needle is sharp, if you do go through a nerve, you have an issue with that. If it's a small peripheral nerve, most of those grow back without a problem. But the idea is that if it's a larger nerve in different locations, sometimes they don't grow back as well as you'd hoped.
You know, I, as a kid, I remember getting shots. And I swear to God, the needles back then were like 10-penny nails.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of like, oh, here comes a shot. Okay, fine. You're done? I didn't even... Wow. I mean, needles have really come a long way.
Yeah, you're talking about like the hypodermic needles that used to be used.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's ugly, scary things. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you're using very, very small gauge needles. Most people, it's more the workup than it is the actual injection itself.
Yeah, you don't feel. It's like that's it. It's over. It's like, wow, this is really good. Now, why does cortisone, shoulder, elbow, knee, cortisone shot for you, will last? You'll get a benefit out of it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. For me, 2 days. Why the disparity between the two?
There's a few things for that. It depends on, one, how much damage is there. Mm-hmm. If your inflammation level is just that high, it may not cause the desired effect in terms of bringing it down far enough.
Okay.
There could be the idea of the genetics. You just have your rapid metabolizer, so you metabolize the drug quicker than most people.
Okay.
If it's somewhere you've had multiple placements of it in the same location, I mean, there's a little bit of an accuracy component. You want to potentially make sure it's in the right place. Sometimes if it's a little bit off here or there, it might not actually hit the target.
So if I'm one of those people genetically predisposed to metabolizing quickly, mm-hmm. I can't keep coming in to see you once a week for a cortisone shot. I'm assuming you've got some sort of restrictions on that.
Yeah. We're usually talking about one. If you're doing it in the joints themselves, you're talking about once every, at the earliest, 3 months. You prefer 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Months. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that's where you get long enough, like, time period where you're actually not going to cause an issue to the joint long term. Because the bad name the cortisone gets is when it was developed in, like, the 50s and 60s where, oh, your knee hurts? You got a football game to play? Let's give you one.
Right.
Oh, next Saturday, your knee hurts? Oh, let's give you another one. Right. And then you wonder why your cartilage turned to mush.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm. So if I'm one of those people... And you do it, you give me the shot, 2 days goes by, 3 days, 4 days, and I'm like, okay, nothing. What's plan B? Obviously, cortisone's not going to work for that particular person, so where'd you go?
Depends what the problem is. So most commonly, if I have someone, let's say, has knee arthritis, mm-hmm. that comes in and sees me for that sort of a thing, if I give a cortisone injection and it doesn't give them the desired result, the first two things in my mind are, one, are you a rapid metabolizer? Two, did it go in the right space? The idea is this is a 99% or close to 99% accurate injection. But the idea is I would go, yeah, we got one or two options here. We can talk about doing the anti-inflammatories by mouth to be able to help to see if maybe if a systemic effect would be helpful for you. Or we can try it under maybe an ultrasound guidance. And that's rare where that happens, where I have to go to the ultrasound to guarantee accuracy in a knee in particular.
Hmm.
But if you talk about a hip, or you talk about a shoulder, those anatomic-based injections, they're more accurate under guidance, whether you talk about doing it under light x-ray or doing it under ultrasound.
But again, we're not talking cutting.
No, not at all.
Which brings me back to where we started.
Yeah.
That there are many options, and so the name is kind of a misnomer, Concord Orthopedics. I mean, yeah, we get it, but... people automatically think, and I think that's one of the benefits of what we've been doing here, to say, no, for every 10 people that walk in, maybe one, maybe two will go under the blade, but the other 8 or 9, we're going to find PT, we're going to find some sort of restorative treatment to deal with the problem.
Yeah, and most people that come in that want or seek a total joint, usually they come in and you can read it off their face. And you've really thrown the kitchen sink at them, trying to make them feel better.
Yeah.
And they usually go, you're either going to cut this off or we're going to have troubles. And
yeah.
And you go like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've really tried to maximize all this other options for you, and they just aren't moving in the right direction. Your x-rays show that it may be time to talk to one of the total joint.
I was going to say, you must have some people. And the generation before, well, baby boomers and before, they seem to suck up pain better. They seem to tolerate it more. You must see the people that come in, bone on bone, you're looking at the x-ray going, really? My God, how are you even walking in here? And to them it's like, yeah, it's a little annoying. And they just, tough stuff.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You could see, I don't know if it's generational or anything, but that's like a big joke that I have amongst some of my buddies where, You'll get a patient that comes in, you go, wow, that's an ugly-looking x-ray. And they go, no, I just got a little hitch in my step.
Yeah.
I just wanted to come in, make sure there's nothing else that I needed to really do. And if there's maybe a way I can improve this because this is the only time I really feel it. I'm like, those patients usually they do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had some relatives who were like that. Could be bone on bone, and they're just, okay, it'll take me a few extra steps to get there, but it's okay. Not worth complaining about. I'm like, wow, that ain't me. new. So what are you doing today? Anything fun?
This morning I've got my ultrasound clinic, so I'll be doing some diagnostics and some injections today, doing that guided sort of stuff we just talked about earlier. Yeah, right. And then I'll be running the acute injury clinic this afternoon.
Is that all computerized? I mean, everything.
Everything. When it comes to the ultrasound, yeah. This is the... It's really funny because the running joke in the office is the women that come in, they're like, oh, one of these again? They get a good smile out of that.
Yeah,
and then
it.
The big joke
got
with
it.
The men is, oh, you're going to tell me if it's a boy or a girl?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, hey. Gallows humor, okay?
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. No, I take it. It always puts a smile on people's face.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
All
right. Yeah. Where else are you? I know I've asked before, besides Concord.
I'm down in the dairy and the Wyndham office.
That busy?
Dairy. Well? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's busy.
All right. Well, Adam, as always, we appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Brad.
It's always a blast. Drive careful. How was it coming in?
It wasn't too bad. All right. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
You got 4x?
Yeah, I do.
Good boy.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Dr. Adam Androlia, Concord Orthopedics. We'll take a break. Back with more.
We start your day the right way. Good morning, New Hampshire, with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly. Weekdays, 6 to 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Pulse.